You are now entering the world of Musings of a Geek Podcast Network. Stay geeky, my friends.
Hello, and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I'm your host, Scott. You can find me at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian at Pure Rock Fury. And we are here with Chris at SkateXEdge. You can find the show at The Comic Roast. Or you can go to comicroast.com for all the other good stuff. Our number one for the week is actually about a month and a half, 2 months old at this point. It was Island number one, which was basically almost like a comic magazine that was put out on Image a while back. That it looked interesting, so I figured let's give it a whirl. Next on the list, we have some sad news with Mr. Wes Craven. And then we got a few other things. And then over-under for this week was animated movies.
Oh, yeah.
Movies. And that kind of came about because last week on the movie roast, we did Flashpoint Paradox. So if you guys want to go back and listen to that, you probably should.
Hell of a good podcast.
Yes, yes. And I don't know if anyone's... I mean, I know people have been going to the Review and Roast site, but just so you're aware, it may look like we're not putting stuff up, but that's because we're having slight technical difficulties that should be cleared up. Actually, probably by the time you're listening to this, hopefully they'll be cleared up. But if they're not, just know that we are working to get new stuff up there for you.
Got a lot of new stuff to put up, so.
Yes, yes, yes. By quite a few people, actually. Transmitter! Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? So, right off the bat, the one thing that really I read in one sitting, besides Island, was the second trade of Chew. Now, I have to admit, I was slightly disappointed in the fact that it didn't pick up where the, like, it didn't tell you anything about that other guy from, like, his big old partner, like, that he found at the end, like, they were, you know, whatever, in the first one. They mentioned him a few times, but then all of a sudden he's, like, back with his old partner who had half his face sliced off, and actually, yeah, this one was super funny. Like, I picked it up. I'm like, oh, I'll just read a little bit before I go to bed. And yeah, I stayed up late and read the whole thing in one sitting.
Have you gotten to Poyo yet?
This is the one where he was on the island doing, and his brother was going to be the chef for the island. And they, if I had the vegetable or whatever they were growing that tasted exactly like chicken.
So you haven't gotten to Poyo yet?
I don't know what that is unless you're, I mean,
I don't want to spoil it because Poyo is amazing.
Well, it's Spanish for chicken. So I don't know if it's a person or if it's
chicken's name.
Oh, no. Okay, then no, I haven't gotten that far.
I don't want to ruin it.
I don't know how far everyone else is with it, but I have to go buy the third one now because I've only read the first two.
The third one is super good. I already read it and reviewed it on our website. I gave it a 9 out of 10.
For real?
I did.
I don't remember seeing that.
Just Desserts? Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I have to admit, that series is pretty awesome. Game, eh, but comic.
I think the game would be fun with like four people.
Oh, absolutely. It'd be more fun with more people, but
you guys got the game?
We played it at the comic book store last week. They had like board game day or whatever, so we stuck around and played that, and then we played holy cow, we played something else too. Oh,
Sentinels of the Multiverse.
Yeah, we got our asses handed to us. That game was so unbalanced. But I don't know, everyone still says it rules, but I think we were just duds on that one.
I think that game is super overrated. I didn't like it at all.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, like, I haven't read all that much in the past week. Every day it's like, I should, but then it's like, you know, I end up not. I finally finished Rescue Me for the third time, so now I can move on. I think I'm going to start Mad Men soon, but
it's funny that you mentioned Rescue Me, because I've been watching Dennis Leary's new show on FX, Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll, and I'm trying to hang in there, but this show feels like Rescue Me with him as a rock star.
It's exactly what the guy at work told me, because I got the one guy at work on Rescue Me, and shortly after that, he got his parents on Rescue Me, and his dad came up to me like a week or two ago, and he's asked me if I was watching Sex, Drug, and Rock and Roll. I'm like, no. I'm like, I don't have cable or whatever. He's like, it's just like Rescue Me, except he's got a, you know, he's a rock star instead of a firefighter. He's like, it's really good, though. You should check it out.
It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you're used to Rescue Me, I guess it's kind of like you're looking for something different, but...
If somebody said, imagine Rescue Me as a half-hour sitcom where everyone's mailing it in. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of how I've been feeling.
Ew.
The cast is great, though. John Corbett's in it, and Robert Kelly's in it. It's got a really good cast. Half the cast from Rescue Me makes an appearance already in the first three or four episodes. But it's
what about
just,
Lou? Is Lou, tell me he's like a roadie or something.
No, last time I saw Lou was on House of Cards.
Yeah. Actually, that's the only place I've seen him since Rescue Me. But that's just, you know, I'm not on the Lou lookout as I should be, because Lou was probably one of my favorite characters on Rescue Me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to pick because everybody is really awesome, but Lou was, like, top-notch. But that's about all I got, so take it away.
Well, I mentioned this months and months ago. I bought this three-volume Ray Bradbury hardcover from Barnes & Noble. It's three books in one book. I finished the first book a couple nights ago, The Martian Chronicles, and yeah, it was really good. It's like a collection of short stories, but they all kind of reference one another. So this short story might be about this family, but they'll make reference to a story from five chapters earlier, or they'll make a reference to a story that's coming three chapters later. It's all centered around the Earth is in the middle of World War III. There's no escape. There's no way the planet's going to survive. Essentially, people are just fighting for bragging rights, but the nuclear winter is essentially going to kill off the survivors. So people start investing in rockets to leave Earth and go to Mars. So it's all the stories of all the people that come to Mars and all the different experiences they have. It's really awesome. The other thing that I wanted to mention is Descender number 6. Reason being, because after the first two issues, the third and fourth ones I felt were a little lax, and I was starting to lose faith in that series, because number 6 completes arc number 1. 5 was really good, but 6 like reinstated my faith in Jeff Lemire like 100%. It was so perfect. Like the way everything ended, the big reveal at the end, the writing, it just reignited my love for Descender. So I have to mention Descender number 6. If you haven't started it, the trade should be out any day now or week now. Chris probably knows the exact date.
No, I don't. But you're right, it is coming out soon.
Yeah, if you don't have the single issues, get the trade the minute you see it, because it's super... It's one of Image's better books right now, and that's saying a lot, because Image put out... I'd say like 4 out of every 5 Image books is at least decent, if not great.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'd
say 4 out of 5 are decent, and 2 out of 3 are great.
That's kind of the same thing, though, ain't it?
Exactly.
All right. Oh, I also want to mention this. I read an interview with Bob Fingerman today. Apparently, minimum wage is on the bubble. I guess issue 6 comes out next week or something.
I got issue 5 this week.
Or maybe it comes out in October then.
Okay.
But what he said in the interview was that the book hasn't been pushed by comic stores the way they hoped, and they're still talking about whether or not it's going to continue after this. He said he's got enough story for at least one more arc, which would come out next summer. And he said that he kind of was thinking of capping it at the third arc anyway and being done with it altogether. But I guess it depends on how the last two issues sell and how well the trade does when it first comes out. So if you're listening and you haven't checked out Minimum Wage by Bob Fingerman, please buy it, because I want a third arc of that book next year. So if not, then when the TV show comes out in 5 years, you'll all go, uh-huh. Then you'll have to wait for the omnibus that's $100. Then you'll feel silly.
If it doesn't come out, he could just make a copy for Brian and me, and that's it.
I'd buy it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He could just make copies for you and I, and that's it.
It has, like, loyal fans, but it's not, like, Saga or Fatale. It's not selling in the tens of thousands at all. It's kind of a boutique series, I guess. But if you see it, buy it, because it's really good.
Yep, I dig it. It's dope.
So how was your reading this week, sir?
Next to nothing.
Hey, just like me. Awesome. Now I don't feel so bad.
No, I excuse me. What did I read? I read a bunch of stuff, actually. Empty Zone, just stuff that I, you know, just keeping up with on the regular, like Sons of the Devil and Empty Zone and Ninjak and, you know, just stuff like that. My noteworthy stuff, I'll get into my roasted section.
Speaking of which, I read Book of Death, Fall of Ninjak, and far better than the other two books so far.
Yeah, I told you.
That was like a little more sci-fi than I expected, but
right.
It was really good.
But it was a way that I would see him. I could kind of believe him going out like, or going out as.
Yeah, I remember you saying
that. I bought it. Like, I'm like, yeah, I could see him going out like this.
Yeah, I just thought, I was like, this is what I wanted Book of Death to be. And issue one was eh, and Bloodshot was like, what the hell is this? But Fall of Ninja.
The Fall of Bloodshot was fine. I mean, well, the beginning was weird, but the end was fine because it was totally depressing.
Right. But I just wanted to throw that out there. The Fall of Ninjak was really good.
Telling you, man. Matt Kent, man. I got to go back and look at that mind management.
I'm going to do the same thing because I feel like I didn't really give it a chance now.
I thought you bought like the trades and stuff.
Yeah, I asked him like maybe months ago about mind management. And Brian said, I didn't really care for it.
It's an interesting book. I mean, you'll see it if you buy it, like what I'm saying, like the stuff. It's kind of like material in the way where there's like text in the margins. It's a really off-the-wall story. I don't know. Maybe it just, it didn't resonate with me at the time, but I feel like I need to go back and reinvestigate it because I know he started like a new arc of it, and it's called New Management.
No, that's the end, actually.
Oh, is it?
That's the end.
Okay.
It's really weird. I thought it was a new arc too, but that's the conclusion of it. It's called New Management.
Well, I'm gonna go back and give it another chance, so.
Cause I know I might have been asking you about Rye or something. You're like, well, I didn't like mind management all that much. I'm like, I'll give it a try. I'll give Rye a try and see how it is. And I kind of wish he and Jeff Lemire would have written Book of Death instead.
Well, Jeff Lemire wrote Fall of Bloodshot, and that was pretty bad.
Well, that's just one. You can't have a home run all the time.
Could get a base up the middle, though. That's not so bad.
Well, they did The Valiant together.
I have not read that yet.
Well, you know what we have read.
Yes, I do.
Island. Basically, like I said, this was my pick for the new number one for the week or whatever. And basically what it is, it's a collection of four different stories, we'll say.
Comic zine.
Right. The first one is ID by Emma Rios. Then you have Kelly Sue DeConnick's Railbirds. Then you have Brandon Graham's Ghost Town. And then finally, Ludrow. I'm not sure of his first name. It's not on this thing right here. But Dagger Proof Mummy was the last story in the book. So do you guys want to go story by story? You just want to do the whole thing? Or
story by story is fine with me.
Okay. ID is basically it's a story about like a teenage girl and then like two older adults, one male, one female, and they're all like in this seemingly like some kind of support group where they're trying to transition into the opposite gender, body changing or body switching. I forget what they called it in the story. But while they're sitting in this cafe talking about it, there's like a terrorist attack in space. And then shortly thereafter, towards the end of the story, like you know, these, I don't know if they're police or army or whatever, military come crashing through and they're trying to arrest everybody. And it was, the artwork was done completely in the color red, which I found extremely interesting. At sometimes slightly confusing because I couldn't make certain things out very well. But overall, I really kind of liked the way they did it. The only thing that I didn't really care for is it's not going to be continued until Island number 4. So I'm going to have to wait quite a while to see where that story goes. But other than that, I thought it was a decent story.
I love the artwork. Like you said, the monotone style of artwork was really, or not monotone, but monochromatic style of artwork was really interesting and kind of in the same vein of Minimum Wage, except Minimum Wage uses more like an aqua and black mixture.
It's all black and white.
No, there's some aqua like shading in there as well, or like a green. But the story was okay. I like the idea. The concept was good. I just don't know if the execution was spot on.
Well, I'm still hoping that they explain more of why. Because it seemed like the teenage girl wanted to change because she feels like she's a man trapped in a woman's body. Where they made it seem like the guy was like, you know, I've been in and out of prison. I got a record. People look at me the way I am now, and they don't give me a second chance. So maybe I'm thinking maybe they're going to do if I switch.
Maybe I have breasts.
Right. You know, I don't know if that's like. And so I'm not 100% on the angle of the two adults because the older lady's just like blah, meh. Blah, for everything. She's like a writer, and they suggested that maybe it's because she's looking for a way to spark the next idea for the next story or whatever. So it's interesting to see the different ways or the different reasons they have for wanting to do this. I just don't fully know what they all are yet. Right. But I get what you're saying, yeah.
But I thought the writing was kind of sparse, so I was...
This is something I could have seen coming out from, like, Art Monk Construction Records, or Jade Tree, or Gern, or Glenn Burns.
Gern Blanston?
Yeah.
a special 8-page comic that comes with the new Garden Variety 7-inch?
Yeah. That's totally what it reminded me of, though. Like, something like that.
I kind of thought the same thing. I was like, this belongs in Comic Bus number 43.
It's like it's a zine. It's I'm not knocking it. It's a cool idea. I mean, it's kind of an idea like, you know, like anyone can, you could pick it up at any time. You don't have to just go with, you know, issue 1 or issue 3 or however far they're going to take it. Depending, I'm assuming that most of the stories aren't going to, they're just one shot stories. So, you know, you could just pick it up, but you just said that they're going to continue that in another issue, so...
Yeah, I mean, it says not until the fourth one, but I know the second one is out already.
From it. Like, it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Which is actually not a... You know, it's... I dig it, because it's. I think it's like a way for them to, like, kind of, like, probably test ideas out.
And, yeah.
You know, like, hey, you know, I've been... you know, having this idea in my head for quite some time. I want to put it in your island.
Right.
In the comic scene. Let's test it out and see what people think. And
but yeah, I
dig it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so, you know, we're all on the same page. It wasn't the strongest, but it was decent, you know.
I mean, the price is maybe a little too...
See, I feel it's perfect. I mean, for $8, you get to check out a 60-some page book, you know.
Not,
I mean,
it's not thin by any stretch.
No, it's definitely. Well, in my opinion, it's worth it. I know, like, even the guy, like, I was reading some reviews earlier today. To one guy, I was like, "Ew, for a price tag of $8." I'm like, "Dude, you're gonna spend $10 on a trade, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, at least this gives you 4 different stories. So if you buy a trade and the whole thing sucks, you're screwed."
That's tapping into his cigarette money.
Yeah, right. So the next story in this actually isn't a comic at all. It's like
a
like a 4-page, almost autobiographical story by Kelly Sue DeConnick called Railbirds, and she wrote it about her friendship with Maggie Estep, who was a poet who actually died not too long, a while back or whatever. So the story is kind of a condensed version of their friendship. And in my opinion, I don't know, I mean, because it's not a comic. It's literally just a story. This was the strongest thing in this book.
Yep.
When I first, you know, flipped through it, I'm like, is this part of the thing? Is this like a pretext to the next comic? Like, I don't know what it was.
It blew me away. An insert to the Promise Ring LP?
Right.
No, this was by far the strongest and most heartfelt thing in the book by miles.
Yeah, not to belittle it.
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't. Well, you expect, you know, for a comic magazine, it would all be comics, but this gave her, like you said, a way to toss ideas out for some new stories or new whatever.
Yeah, I think it's more of a soapbox for.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a fanzine for them.
Yeah,
really. I mean, like I said, I'm not knocking it. I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah, she absolutely killed it. I mean, she talks about, you know, her past, you know, issues with, you know, drug abuse and addiction, and how she met Matt Fraction and her friendship with this, with Maggie, and how they grew apart, but they were still friends and blah, blah, blah. To me, this story alone is worth the $8. Hands down, trust me, you'll enjoy it.
Well, to illustrate how good this essay, or like you said, eulogy was, I didn't know until about three paragraphs till the end that this Maggie person had passed away.
Any final thoughts on that? Anybody?
No, I mean, no, it was a well-written essay about a dear friend of hers.
Yeah. Okay, so the third story in this book was by Brandon Graham, called Ghost Town. This, to me, the art was really kind of almost in the vein of almost like a Robert Crumb, like very exaggerated, cartoony look.
See, I was thinking more Adventure Time.
Could, yeah, that too. The cross between them, yeah. This story really kind of just made me feel confused and want to go lay down because I have no clue. I mean, I know they were... The girl was some kind of smuggler, and this guy was just, like, her boyfriend, and he was just like, I'll sit here while you till you get back. And it was just, I mean, it was weird. All kinds of weird creatures. You had everything talked, not just the people, not just the creatures, but, like, teapots were talking. And I mean, it was really...
stupid? Sorry, it was dumb. It was the most pretentious attempt at trying to be avant-garde that I've read in quite a while. And the guy that wrote this or created this part, I believe, is the creator of that series King City that's on Image. It's kind of a comic manga hybrid. I've always looked at the King City collection and gone, oh, maybe I ought to check this out. Thank you very much. I will not be checking that out now. That story was horrible.
It was very strange. Very, very strange.
See, here's the thing that makes Adventure Time work. The stories are weird and really off the wall, but they make sense. They have a coherency to them despite all the talking cupcakes and weird flying things. This is some guy sitting around, in my opinion, going, I'm really creative and interesting.
Tune in next week when Brian has yet another Twitter war with somebody saying, I can't believe.
I will not Twitter war with this guy. He's not going to listen to our show for A. And B, I'm sorry. It was pretentious and it was, you know, pseudo avant-garde. It's to somebody else might go, this thing is really genius. Okay. Art is subjective. You thought it was genius. Congratulations. You are smarter, different, you're more wacky or less whatever than I am.
Well, like I said, I was reading a review earlier, and the one guy basically said the same thing. This is a very out there, very weird story, but if you're familiar with this guy, you'll love it. If it's your first introduction to this guy, you're not going to have a clue what's going on, and you're going to hate it, which I think is where we all are on this one.
But it doesn't make me want to go any further into his bibliography.
No, I agree.
I like weird, I like avant-garde, and I like strange things. But when it just seems strange for the sake of trying to be hip, which this felt like to me, Next.
Yeah, it was very long and very...
Yeah, I didn't even finish it. I got halfway through, and it was making me mad, so I was just like, I don't even care.
Well, I'll tell you what you missed. Somehow there was a furnace that ate people, and they asked the guy who stayed behind to go fix it, and they told him, like, it might eat you, and he thought in his head, like, well, she's always running off doing cool adventure stuff. Maybe I should do something, too. I'll fix your furnace. It just made no sense. It really didn't, but that's about all you missed.
Yeah, it's still not sold.
All right, you got any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I could see Jade Tree totally digging it.
A lot of
I could see Tim Owens and Darren Walters totally being into it.
A lot of record references today.
It just reminds me of something like one of those like pretentious, crappy indie rock bands.
Yeah.
Owls. Joan of Arc. Captain Jazz.
Okay, so the last one.
Do you not agree?
Well,
no, it was definitely.
There are certain parts of the country, certain cities specifically, during that era that were notorious for churning out bands that swam in seas of pretentiousness, and Chicago was like the hotbed for that stuff.
Yeah.
There's a couple other cities. I would say, like, I would throw, like, Washington, D.C. in that mix, and maybe, like, Philadelphia. But Chicago was definitely, like, churning.
Mile Marker and...
Actually, I liked Mile Marker.
Well, I don't know them per se, but I mean, like...
But yeah, you're right. Like, the bands with the Beatles hair and the super tight flood pants and the gym shoes that don't match.
Yeah, and let's look like we're hobos, but...
The rich kids on the block shopping at Goodwill.
You got it, exactly. What's your dad... Oh, he's the CEO for Sears.
Yeah. So why are you shopping at Goodwill? Because it looks cool.
I'm rebelling against my parents who gave me the money to buy the tour van. Shut up.
My dad's a VP at Allstate.
Okay, so...
But that's the good thing about this. You get... if there's bound to be something in here that you like.
Oh, I agree.
So it's not like you're going to get gypped. And it's coming from Image, so, I mean.
Well, now we're back to the final story in there, which is Daggerproof Mummy, which is similar to the first one artwork-wise, where it's very, instead of red, it's like a grayish, maybe like, you know, dark, deep gray-blue type drawings. A much cleaner artwork. But it's basically about, you know, this girl that's hanging out at the skate park, and the one guy there who just like, I'm gonna jump the bridge one day, and then he like disappeared in the middle of the jump, and it turns out like when he did, he went to it seemed like another dimension where he's now a dagger-proof mummy that fights cats. Like it's weird. I kind of dug it a little bit, but I kind of was like, why is he fighting cats? Like, why are they all people? Why are they all skateboarding? Why does he disappear and now fights cats? And now she is, like, being hunted down by these cats. And it was just, I don't know. Like, it was weird, but I kind of like it.
Here.
Maybe here. Kind of feel about it the same way I feel about the first one. You know, it was weird, but I kind of like it. I like the artwork, definitely.
The artwork was okay. I wanted to like the story because it seemed to be heavily revolved around skateboarding, which I thought was different for comics. But some of the dialogue just threw me in, and not in a good way. Some of the dialogue, I was like, ooh, that was bad. So the dialogue was sparse as is, but when you factor in some of the dialogue seemed really immature, it kept taking me out of the story.
Well, I mean, it's a story about skateboarding kids.
But it wasn't that the dialogue was immature in, like, a kid sort of way. It was immature in, like, a teenage, like, hormone-induced, you know, let's say filthy words all the time. I don't know. Just it didn't really. It didn't seem like it was for kids, and it didn't seem like it was for adults. It seemed like it was aimed at a time in your life when, you know, oh my God, I could swear in public. Yeah. So I didn't like it. I didn't hate it, but I didn't really like it either.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree with Brian on that one.
Again, I wanted to love it because it was about skateboarding, though. So I give it props for being about skateboarding.
That's pretty sweet.
I keep telling myself I'm going to start skating
again. No, you're not.
I know I'm not going to. I just keep saying I'm going to.
All right. So there you have it. Island number one came out July 15th, so almost 2 months ago. As a whole, like I said, for $7.99... just the story alone that was written by Kelly Sue DeConnick, it is totally worth it just for that. But you should check it out because you'll probably enjoy, at least somewhat enjoy at least one or two of the other stories. Overall, I give it a 7.
Yeah, I
would like to go higher, but some of the things that like that one ghost town just really brought it down for me. And I know like whatever, but
if you were anywhere in ages of 20 to 27 during the 90s, and you listen to bands like Mineral and Junction,
you're making
Policy of Three and Frail.
You're making a million references that most people are going to go, what is he talking about?
Good.
And then they're going to hit YouTube and not find anything because I never filmed them.
Totally pretentious by naming bands that no one knows.
If you liked Haymarket Riot, this thing's for you. Actually, I like that record. That was pretty good. I wonder what happened to
Weston and...
Hey.
Got Beat Up is still amazing.
Slow down on the Weston talk there. Weston was awesome.
And we saw him at Stupid Off the Alley.
We saw him a million times.
I didn't. I only saw him like twice.
Like six or seven.
Hey, there's
times.
A lot of bands I like on Jade Tree. I like New and the Originals. I love Texas Is the Reason.
They had like a handful of okay songs, but I wouldn't go as far as say I liked everything they did.
Yeah.
But that could be a whole other show that I still think we should do sometime. Just a bi-quarterly music show or something where you guys ramble about old 90s hardcore for 6 hours. Basically, I'll just record your guys' conversation when you come over because that's all you guys talk about anyway.
Be the most unpopular episode ever.
Or the most popular, depending on who finds it.
True enough.
All right, so me and Chris are at a 7. You never numbered it.
I love the concept. Again, it felt like a 90s fanzine, although a lot more slick in terms of production value. It felt like one of those 90s fanzines.
It was like a punk planet.
I kind of felt more like it was one of those...
Legion
like,
of Doom?
No, Red Alert.
No, where, like, someone would do, like, a split zine where, oh, Stormtrooper fanzine's going to do a split zine with some dude from Europe, and it's going to be the Storm Smurf.
You mean, like, Storm Nature or Second Trooper?
Yeah, like, it felt like one of those weird, like, fanzine collaborations from the 90s. So that made me want to like it, but I'm going to go with a 6. I just felt that a lot of the content, comic-wise, was mediocre to pretty bad.
Well, that's the good thing about this, then, because...
Right, it gives you
enough... You're going to have different people, you know, different writers and artists in it every issue, so...
Right, so...
It's like a soapbox for them.
It gives you a chance. It's almost like a sampler without being a sampler because it's all original stuff. So I appreciate the idea. I think it's a great idea. I'd like to see more stuff like this, but actually kind of made me want to do something like that myself. But
well, then maybe when it's my pick again, I'll pick number 2.
Oh, new number 2.
Yeah. Oh, good call. Duh.
Like if I got asked to do a comic in there, like I'd call it Cotton Candy Black Jezebel.
I have no idea what that's going to be about.
You'll just have to wait for issue 5.
Which will be the first one, but the 5th one.
Like Leonard Part 6. Wow. All right, nerds. Let's 776. Let's move this on. So I'm assuming everyone's heard by now. Wes Craven has passed away.
Who's that?
Are you being for real?
No.
Oh, I was like, wait a minute. I'm trying to pull it up here. Hold on. Wow, he was 76 years old. And he passed away a week ago, if you're listening to this on Monday. It was a week ago Sunday. A week ago yesterday. From his long battle with brain cancer, which I did not know he had.
Neither did I.
You know, if you're not familiar, he
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yep. Nightmare on Elm Street, Last say, House on the Left,
Hills Have Eyes,
you know.
Scream.
He was like the big...
Hills Have Eyes, I hear, is actually kind of pretty graphic.
You know what? It's actually not that graphic, but it is really... It's an unsettling movie because you keep expecting something to happen.
Because I looked at it online, like what it was about, and they're saying some of the scenes, and I was like, whoa.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I've never... So he did the remake in 2006
of
The Hills Have Eyes.
No, he did the original
in 1977.
Yes.
Yeah, that I don't think I've ever seen.
I own that movie, or nice. At least I used to own it. I don't know if I still do.
I saw the remake. I haven't seen the original.
You know, I'm gonna have to. Actually, the remake was done by Alexander Aja, the guy that did High Tension.
Right.
I thought the remake was okay.
I liked it.
It wasn't. It was a lot gorier than the original. But it wasn't.
Doesn't it have like scenes of rape and?
Kind of, sort of. But I mean, it's not terribly graphic. I mean, it's been a while since I've watched it. I mean, there. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember the movie being that bad. But again, if I watched it today, I might feel differently. It has Michael Berryman from Weird Science, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that it does. I saw him in the picture.
That was probably, if I had to pick my favorite Wes Craven movie, that would be my first choice. My second choice would be Swamp Thing, and that's only because it's Swamp Thing. It's actually not really a good Swamp Thing movie, but it's a movie about Swamp Thing, so I'll take it. And Skip Remning from News Readers was Swamp Thing, which is kind of awesome. Also known as Robin Scherbatsky's dad on How I Met Your Mother.
He rules.
Ray Wise, that guy's the best. He's the best complaining old man ever. But, yeah, I just thought we'd, you know, throw that out there that, you know, he was relevant to comics and horror movies, if you're into that sort of thing.
Yep.
Alrighty then. So we also have some bold statements by Mr. Steven Spielberg, who... basically said the other day that the superhero movies that everyone's so in love with will one day go the way of the Western. How do we... I mean, I'd say there's about a 50-50 chance. I mean, theoretically.
I think superhero movies as we know them will evolve and change over time. But to say they'll go the way of the Western... Movies aren't done the way they were done 50 years ago.
No, I know.
There's a billion different avenues to creating content. There's a billion different ways to tell stories. The Netflix Daredevil series is proof positive that it doesn't have to be, you know, a straight superhero story with an origin and a villain and a so on and so forth.
The origin was in there and so was a villain.
There really wasn't an origin. I mean, they would do flashbacks to various parts of Daredevil's origin, but there really wasn't an origin story the way it's done in, like, Batman Begins
right, yeah.
or
it
Iron
Man. It didn't take up a huge amount, which I loved, and which is why I completely think the rebooting of Spider-Man yet again is going to completely fail, because they're doing another origin.
They are, really?
Yeah. Oh. And he's still a high school kid. Everybody knows how Spider-Man became Spider-Man, and nobody wants to see him in high school anymore. They want to see Spider-Man in his early 20s just, you know, fighting crime and doing what he does. You know, nobody wants to see an hour of him learning how to shoot webs. Cause,
dude, Coming to America's on right now. Sweet.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, for the most part, I mean, when it comes to comic book movies, theoretically, they'll never run out of material because A, they can make their own, or B, there's just, you know, almost 100 years worth of stories to go back and pull from. I mean, it's just, I don't know. You might not have a ton of new characters anytime soon coming out for these movies. No, although they could start introducing new characters in the movies instead of in the books. That could be something they... I mean, there's, yeah, you know what? There is a lot of stuff they can do, so maybe I'm wrong. I think I'm wrong. I didn't think about
and
it.
Here, they still make Westerns. The reason why they don't make like 14 Westerns a year anymore is because with Netflix and cable and so on and so on and so on, Westerns are still prominent. I mean, The Hateful Eight's coming out in a couple months. That's a Western. Django Unchained was basically a Western. Justified was like a modern day Western. That show Longmire on, I believe, A&E is a Western. Hell on Wheels on AMC is a Western. Westerns still exist.
Fassbender just did a Western. I don't remember the name of it, but...
Right, and then Lonesome Dove was like 10 years ago. That was a miniseries.
It's no Tombstone.
Tombstone was in the 90s. Westerns still get made. So, I mean, if they maybe space out the superhero movies over time a little more or something goes more to cable or... It'll always
saturated,
be around.
Though.
I don't see that because I feel like 2-3 movies a year is still far less than 47 romantic comedies.
No,
every
but
year.
I mean, like, if you combine the movies and the TV shows that they're all doing now, and
well, they're doing so many.
You know, I mean, for the thing with Westerns is there's like how many real scenarios can you have with a Western? You know, horses, powdered rifles, and, you know, and cowboys. You know what I'm saying? Whoa. Like,
and the good ones are all the Clint Eastwood ones anyways.
Whoa.
So.
Don't forget Mr. Bronson.
Whoa.
I'm saying, story-wise, it's not going to be much variation, where in comics, the sky's the limit.
If there's violence and a lot of staring, I'm into it. When I'm talking about a Western.
A movie that was based off a comic.
Yeah, they could do
Scalped.
They could do Just a Pilgrim. They could do Streets of Glory. Just don't do Joan Hex again. That was a really bad movie.
And don't adapt that Stephen King graphic novel. That thing,
The Dark Tower.
I read the. I couldn't even finish the first one.
That's coming.
It was terrible. I don't know how. I don't know why it's so popular. But when I bought the first one, I didn't get through it. It was bad.
I think maybe after a while, the big summer superhero movies will slow down for a minute. Maybe they'll go back to the drawing board and try to figure out a new way to do it. But to say that they'll go away is just, it's more, again, maybe they'll go away from superheroes for a minute and they'll do Sandman and Swamp Thing and Constantine again, and then they'll come back to superheroes again. Or maybe they'll do, you know, Men of Wrath and Criminal, and then comic book movies aren't going anywhere. Sorry. Superhero movies, maybe not. We'll see. 15 years and they're going strong as they are gone. So, I mean,
well, he specifies superhero movies, not comic book movies.
Superhero films have been around since 1940. They used to do the serials with Green Hornet and Batman and Superman, and they did the radio serials, and they had the TV show, then they did the Batman TV show, they did the Batman movie, Superman movies in the 70s, Batman in the 80s, The Shadow and Batman and...
Shadow was terrible.
I've never seen it.
Or The Spirit. I'm thinking of The Spirit. That was terrible.
But I'm just saying, they've never not made superhero movies. To say that this is like a new thing is silly. They've been making them for 60, 70 years.
Yeah.
All right. Real quick, before we move on to over-under, I got this list here of the 10 great DCU books you should be reading, because there's been some stories in the news that the DCU initiative has not gotten off the ground like they hoped, and there's rumors that it's being shelved, although I just read a few days ago that that's not true, that they are going to continue with it because they've gotten some critical acclaim. But anyway, I figured I haven't checked into the whole DCU thing yet, so I figured we could take a quick look at these 10 must reads. According to comicbook.com, number 1 or number 10, whichever, is Batman Beyond. If you're not familiar with Batman Beyond, there was a cartoon show in the late 90s. Bruce Wayne is like 75 years old. He's far too old to be Batman, but there's this young kid who decides to take up the mantle in a futuristic Gotham as Batman, and he just, he looks more space age, and it's, I've seen little bits and pieces of it, but I'm not totally familiar with the stories, but I know a little bit about the cartoon show, and it's, I mean, it's Batman, so if you like Batman, you'll probably like Batman Beyond. Any interest in that?
I mean, it's Batman, so I mean, there's interest in it, but I have, don't know if I've even seen it.
All right. This one we were going to do for a number one on the show. I know you and I read it, and unfortunately we never got to do it because the person who picked it was Joe, and then he ended up not being on the show the next week, and then it just got pushed back and then pushed out altogether. Bizarro number one, or Bizarro, the Bizarro Superman. Where
he's, I thought you read it. I thought you said it was terrible.
No, it's good if you're 10, but I'm not 10, so I just feel like it's not for me. I mean, it's drawn really well. It's exactly what DC should be doing in terms of doing different kinds of stories. So having a comedy Superman story with the big Frankenstein-looking Superman could be kind of fun, but it's clearly aimed at, like, sixth graders, so not really for me. The next one is Constantine the Hellblazer. I know they pushed John Constantine from Vertigo over to DC, and I don't think it was super well received. I watched the show Constantine. I've seen clips from the movies. I read the first trade. I don't really get into Constantine. I don't know if you're...
Not really. I think I saw the one movie, and that's about as far as I ever went.
Okay, then, yeah.
What one again?
Constantine?
No, I didn't...
Next one is Cyborg. I guess he's finally getting his own series. Probably because the movie's coming out in a few years. I'm neither for nor against it. I'd have to check it out for myself. I like Cyborg on Teen Titans Go, though. Woo! All right, next one, Dr. Fate. I know nothing about this character.
Neither do I.
All right. Next one, you are reading Justice League of America.
I am. I've only read the first one so far, but I have the first three.
Well, I remember you saying you really liked it.
I did. I thought it was super good, and I'm pretty excited to read the next two. I just, you know, haven't had time to sit down for a minute.
I would like to check it out, A, because you and Mike both have said it's good, and B, because we just watched The Flashpoint Paradox, and I loved it. So now I'm kind of stoked to read some Justice League. Next one is a character I'm pretty psyched on, even though I know only minimal amounts, and that's Martian Manhunter.
I only really know of him from the fighting game.
I know him from the fighting game, and I know him from the fighting game, and I know him from when he pops in other character books.
Yeah.
So, I like the character of Martian Manhunter, and I'll probably check that one out. Next one is Midnighter. Not familiar with Midnighter. Next one is Prez, one I've actually heard a lot of good things about. Don't know what it's about, though.
President.
A young female protagonist in a comic tinge with social criticism, a writer imported from indie comics, and an artist in the vein of recent hits as Spider-Gwen and Batgirl.
Pops.
I got nothing.
Yeah. I saw it one day, and I was like, oh, well, like, maybe I'll... I'm like, eh, never mind.
Next one is Starfire.
I've seen it. Does that count for anything?
No.
I feel like if we don't know anything about what's on these lists, it's kind of pointless to go through.
Can't read them all, man.
No, I know. But like every single one that's come through except for the Justice League has been like, anybody? Nope.
Well, I read another article recently where they mentioned books that caught my eye, and I thought maybe they would be on this list.
Home, okay?
Unfortunately, they're not showing up. So that's the list of the DCU books that are apparently worth checking out. I've heard a lot of good things about the Omega Men and the Justice League Gods and Monsters series, which I have not checked out either one. But I guess those are the DCU titles that people are supposed to be looking into. Martian Manhunter sounds neat. Justice League sounds neat. The other ones, I don't know, sure.
Yeah, I don't even know if I've even seen the Martian Manhunter one, but I got to say, like, when you mentioned a few weeks ago that they were, you know, talking about scrapping the whole DCU thing, I just, all of it just fell off the radar for me. I was just like, eh, whatever. Like, if they're not even going to continue it, why start? So I don't know if that was something they were actually considering or if it's just a rumor somebody started, but that rumor alone probably killed a lot of, you know, what they're trying to do there. Personally, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. But I guess we could do
Roasted.
Yeah, Roasted.
Toasted.
We need a theme song.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, Roasted.
I told you what the theme song is. She's an easy lover.
Oh, that's right. Doe. I really should keep track.
And I'm the best of DJs want to feel my breast.
Weirdo. I really should keep track of the ones I did because I don't remember if I did this one yet or not. But I know, for me at least, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Did I do that one already?
Huh?
No.
Okay, well then, yes. I feel like for a show that had a fairly decent cast and, you know, writers that I'm pretty excited about, and it was on Netflix, and I couldn't even power through the first season. Like, I gave up after, like, 7 or 8 episodes. I was almost done, and I was like, I can't do it anymore. This show is just the worst.
That sounds kind of like how Weeds was for me.
Really? Because I'm watching that right now, and I'm actually thoroughly enjoying that show.
How far are you into it, though?
They just got the grow house.
So you've seen her, you've met her, her supplier or whatever?
Maybe?
I don't know, but that black woman was freaking annoying in that show.
Oh, see, that doesn't bother me. I know who you're talking about. No, that, she doesn't bother
annoying.
Me. You know who bothered me at first was her brother-in-law, but he's actually kind of grown on me a little bit.
Oh, the weird perv.
Yeah, he was I mean, there's still
the weird borderline unambiguously pedophile.
Yeah, you could just straight up creeper. I mean, the only the interesting thing is while you're watching it, you're just like, dude, how many of these ideas did Breaking Bad rip off? Like, it's, but anywho, back to Kimmy Schmidt. If you haven't seen it and you're thinking about it, don't waste your time.
I forget which site it was, but one reviewer essentially called that show. They said that everything on that show felt like all the jokes that got scrapped from 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they wrote a bunch of jokes, and people, when they were going through the scripts for 30 Rock, were like, nah, this doesn't really work. This doesn't work. And then when 30 Rock was done, she had a binder full of all these jokes that got taken out of the writer's room, and she's like, let's make a show out of this. I kind of agree, although I'll say Jon Hamm on the last 2 or 3 episodes was amazing. The episodes were just watchable, but he, like, stole the show from me as the weird cult leader. I'm a huge Jon fan. Not Jon fan. Jon Hamm fan. Johnny Sausage fan.
Yeah, right. Johnny Honeybaked.
But you're right. No, you're right. That show was a humongous disappointment across the board. Yeah. I got a couple laughs out of the first 2 or 3 episodes, maybe, and that's about it.
Such a great premise, too, and it just they bombed.
They
with
milked it.
It
so bad, so quickly.
Yeah. All right. What about you?
Well, as we used to talk about more often, and haven't really much lately. I really am into the designer board game thing. And since we got Merchants of Venus, I'm, like, really into the sci-fi ones. So I bought this one game, thought it was going to be epic, just never grabbed me at all. Destination Neptune. I really wanted to like this game. I love the cover artwork. It's got that 70s, you know, moon landing kind of artwork. I like the fact that it's by a brand new game company, and it's an American Euro hybrid. I think conceptually the game was maybe it was ideal. It was the idea for it was really good. The execution just wasn't there for me. And I've heard a lot of other people kind of issue the same complaints that once you get through like the first half of the game, you end up with a lot of resources you don't need, but you don't have a whole lot of options, so you're kind of stuck doing the same two or three things over and over and over again. And it's one of those games where if you miss something early, it's really hard to get later on. It's just disappointment city. I want to love it, too.
I feel like there was one of two problems with that game. Either one, the rule book was really bad, or two, like you said, the concept is great, but they didn't put enough thought into how to actually accomplish what they were trying to do. Because I remember we've tried playing it at least, I want to say, three times. And every single time I was like, dude, well, how do I do this? Or what do we do here? And like, I have no idea. Like, do I have to do this? I don't know. Like, it's... It was really neat board, but it was just very poorly executed. I'll totally agree with that.
My turn?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm roasting Jonathan Hickman.
Ooh, what?
Yep. I'm going to tell you why.
Well, I would hope so.
Okay, so as of recently, he's actually put out East of West 20 came out, Dying and Dead number 3 came out, and the Manhattan Project number 2 came out, I think, about a month ago. And the reason why I'm roasting him is because those things are few and far between, but when they come out, they're awesome. So, and I'm reading it, I'm like, why can't this dude just pull him out on a regular basis?
No, I actually...
Why you gotta cock-tease me for about 5-6 months?
I feel exactly what you're saying, because I remember when The Dying and the Dead number 2 came out, like, I almost was at the point where I had to go back and read the first one to kind of refresh myself on what was going on. But
luckily,
yeah,
I remember his stories, because they're actually good.
It's the same thing with Bitch Planet, like... It started out so good, and then it's like now you're putting them out like once every 4 months, and like they seem to have completely like went on the back burner for you story wise. Like, I don't know. I know.
This is the thing, though. His stories for those three haven't gone on the back burner. They're still awesome.
Right? Yeah. He's just he has the Archie
still
issue.
Home run hitters, but they're just few and far between. And I'm like, dude. I'm like, man.
Yeah.
I read East of West. I was like, dude. I'm like, this thing's. He's got twists and turns going on in every issue, and I don't want to. Well, the Dying and Undead, Dying and the Dead, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Number 3 came out this week, so I won't tell you about that. But
okay,
I'll just tell you that the conversation between Hitler, Mussolini, and Emperor Hirohito was actually awesome.
Sounds good. Well, I'll be picking it up Saturday when you get to witness me buy it. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily. I'm roasting Hickman. I'm roasting the fact that his issues are few and far between.
Yeah, he's got the Dark Circle Archie issues. They can't put him out in a timely manner.
Yeah.
All right, so wrapping it up almost with over-under. Like I said, we are doing animated movies this week, and my overrated is the South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut.
What?
Oh, does this have to be like animated or, like, I mean...
No, like pixels, you know, like... Not,
oh, okay, so
like,
I couldn't, like, say...
Pixar movie, like Toy Story, like, it's
I
all on the board.
Akira.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know what it is. As long as it's not a live-action movie.
No.
But, I don't know. I'm not saying that it wasn't a decent movie. I just don't think it was as good as a lot of people think it is.
Wait, which one?
South Park, Bigger, Longer, Uncut.
I'll agree, for 90 minutes, it doesn't hit you with a joke a minute, necessarily. But... The elongated extendo version of Kyle's mom is a bitch was amazing. When he does, when he hits the end, when he says, I really mean it, Kyle's mom is a... Oh, I cried so hard that first time I saw that.
First time ever.
Second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, too. That the way he hits that like Broadway ending is so amazingly hilarious.
I don't know. I feel
I haven't
like
seen it in a long
a
time.
A lot of that movie is in the vein of a musical, which whatever. Doesn't bother me like it bothers some people, but I don't know. The show was hilarious. It still is on some of the episodes I've seen. I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I don't think it's as great as everyone thinks it is.
All right. Well, for my overrated, I have no disrespect to my father who recommended it, and no disrespect to the artist, because I'm a huge fan, but Fritz the Cat was atrocious.
Yeah.
Not funny. Way too...
I didn't even think about that one, yeah.
I left it as an alternate because I thought you might pick it. But I heard about this movie for so many years about, you know, it was near X-rated and 70s influence. It was a cartoon, but it just shatters your worldview of what cartoons are. And remember, you bought it. We watched it. And about halfway through, we're like looking at each other like, when does this get funny? This isn't funny. This is terrible. And it was like the first 15 minutes were like a story, and then it just turned into like a 70-minute acid trip. I couldn't tell you what that movie was about, other than the fact that I hated it.
Yeah, there were a handful of moments that were, you know, you get a laugh out of, but yeah, overall it was terrible.
The fact that Robert Crumb himself said he gave up on that movie like almost in the infancy of production and has still to this day have never seen it, it tells you a lot.
Yeah.
Cuz that's his character.
Right.
And he essentially said that was his first and his last encounter with Hollywood in terms of trying to adapt anything that he's done, cuz he just said that it was a miserable experience from beginning to end, and he didn't stay on the project very long.
Yeah. All right, what do you got for overrated?
The G.I. Joe animated movie.
Which one are you talking about? The animated movie from the 80s?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The one with the Pentor and the Cobra. La, 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 la.
Because there was an animated movie that Adult Swim did called Resolute.
That's different.
That's Warren Ellis tougher. Wrote. Like maybe yeah. 5 or 6 years ago. That thing was awesome.
Yeah.
It was.
It came out in like 2007, 2008.
Yes, it was broken up into like 7-minute episodes, but it worked out.
Who wrote that?
Warren Ellis wrote that.
Really?
That was a great movie. I mean, it was only like 60 minutes long, but it was really good.
Yeah, it was tough.
Totally changed my perception of G.I. Joe as an adult. I've been trying to find.
Cobra, la, 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 la. I was like, dude, I'm like, come on.
If I saw that movie, I saw it when I was a kid, and I don't remember it.
Yeah. Overrated.
Okay, so I'm going to have a little explaining on my underrated. I went through about as many lists as you can think of for animated movies. You know, top animated movies, overrated, underrated. I mean, I've read so many lists in the last week because I knew we were doing this. And I didn't see it on any list. And it is by far one of my favorite animated movies. And that's the Alice in Wonderland from, you know, the 70s or whatever, the 60s.
That's a good one, actually.
Absolutely love that movie. I love the story. And it was
dark.
Not on the list whatsoever. It wasn't on anybody's overrated, underrated. I mean, I looked at a top 100 list. It wasn't even on there. I love that movie.
I agree. I loved that movie as a kid, and even as an adult. So, no, I'm on board with that pick because that movie is a lot darker and a lot more. There's a lot more subtlety in that movie than, I mean, a kid could watch it, and all the subtle references are going to go miles over their head. But there's some pretty strong drug references in that movie.
Oh no, absolutely, yeah.
My pick is a little more family friendly, I guess. But these are two shows that I grew up on that I was fully into. And they took and crossed these Hanna-Barbera classics over to one another and made a TV movie in 1987 called The Jetsons Meet the Flintstones.
I totally remember that. We set the VCR up and everything.
Set the VCR up. I think the tape split in half from all the times I watched it. I love the Jetsons. I loved the Flintstones. And a lot of the reason why I love both shows is because I love the Honeymooners, and those shows were cartoon versions of the Honeymooners.
Yeah.
So when they crossed over, like, my two favorite Hanna-Barbera characters, or my two favorite Hanna-Barbera series into one movie, yeah, it was... I don't know if I would like it as much now, and I don't know that I want to see it now, because if it wasn't as good as I remember when I was 10, I'd be disappointed. But 10-year-old me couldn't stop watching that movie.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember it.
Oh, I don't think it was like a box office barn burner. I mean, it was a it was a made for TV movie.
I'm just saying, I don't remember.
Well, what do you remember as far as being your underrated?
The Black Cauldron.
Why have I heard of that? What the...
I believe it was a Disney movie, and
that sounds
I saw it
really
in the theaters,
familiar.
And it was in like, I want to say it was 84, 80. All I remember is of all like the, I like how it was drawn, and I like the whole, you know, all those skeleton like knights in it.
Yeah, you know, I have to say,
that was a pretty dark movie too.
The longer we do this podcast, the more I realize that you were a huge, huge fantasy nerd as a kid.
Yeah.
Between this and the D&D show and...
Yeah, I liked all that stuff.
Oh, I just... I love it. I feel like I've always loved it, but I feel like there's a lot of the stuff I just have never seen. And this is one of them.
Yeah,
it was a Disney movie. Yeah. It's only got a 6.4 on IMDb.
Yeah, my Flintstones.
No one knows what's up.
My Jets and the Flintstone movie got a pretty low score as well.
I think we should put this on the list for the movie, Rose.
I want to own this movie, The Black Cauldron. I got to get it. But I saw it in the theater.
Isn't Disney... Disney's notorious for taking their movies out of the stores, though.
It's kind of a genius move when you think about it.
You don't catch it when it's in the stores. You got to wait.
It's going to be here for... Yeah, see, look, the 25th anniversary special edition, Amazon. How much do they want for it? Because I'm going to buy it.
$13.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
All right.
Oh, I can just get it on Amazon Instant Video. To your mother.
Well, cool. All right.
Yes, I love that movie.
Well, there you have it, folks. Over under for the week. Get into it. If you have agreements, disagreements, or your own list, feel free to tweet us, and we'll discuss them at a later date next
in
week.
In an adult-like manner.
Right. So, as usual, we wrap everything up with the best thing ever, and I'm going to totally cheeseball this one and say, 3-day weekend, 3-day weekend.
It's acceptable. Smoke.
Hey, it's for me, that's huge. I feel like it's going to be nice to have 3 days off.
I concur, but I have something better. I read days ago that Baroness finally has set a date for their new album. It is actually 1 week before Christmas 2015. Their new album is called, drumroll, Purple.
Orange.
Nice. It's called Purple. They're putting it out. They've decided to leave Relapse, and they're starting their own record label, kind of like Clutch did with Weathermaker.
Nice.
Makes sense. They're not going to ever be Disturbed in terms of popularity, but they're also self-sufficient. They don't really need a record label.
Yeah.
So it's a smart move. However, they released the first single off that record called Chlorine and Wine, and it is super good. Essentially take the atmospherics of Yellow and Green and inject a little bit of the heaviness from Blue Record, and you have their Pink Floyd stoner rocky meets Fugazi greatness rising to the cream of the surface of the new Baroness record. And I can't wait. December 18th. Boom. I'm really psyched because I love Yellow and Green. I think it's one of the best records of the last 5 years. Which is weird because the first time I heard it, I thought it was horrible. But, you know, give it a minute. Do a little of that.
Uh-huh. All right. Best thing ever for you, sir.
Metal Gear Solid 5.
Oh, okay.
That game's awesome. Oh, man.
I didn't even know it was out yet.
Yeah, it came out this week, dude. That game's awesome.
I feel like I'm going to have to check that out. Definitely going to have to check that out. They were always really, really cool. Actually,
this is the last one.
Well, I know I've played a couple of them before back in the PS2, PS3 days. A few weeks ago, or maybe a few months ago, there was
Ground Zeroes, which is the pre, which is
was
part
that
of this one. Yeah,
was that Metal the free Gear one 5. For PS Plus?
Yeah, because I finished it.
God,
I wanted to take that save file to upload it into the Phantom Pain.
Yeah, I actually I hated that.
You did?
Yeah, it was clunky controls and very. I don't know. I
like stealth games.
No, I like stealth games, but like I feel
like creeping around corners.
I feel like the controls
and
were
peeking
just,
and looking.
Yeah. Settle down, creeper.
Peering through the glass window.
All I can say is that I hope that the full game is better than that little prequel was, because I did not like that.
Well, yeah, there's a lot to do in this game.
All right, so
there's quite a bit.
I guess I'll have to check that
the
out.
First chapter, and supposedly the game, like, you could play the game. The game is somewhere between. Well, I mean, this is still a wide margin, even they left. They said somewhere between 50 and 100, so I guess depending on what you do, at minimum, it's going to take you 50 hours to beat.
Fine by me. So how you know you get your money's worth.
Yep.
Okay, so that's going to wrap up another episode of the Comic Roast. And, head over to comicroast.com to listen to all of our past shows. We have links there for our Stitcher and our iTunes where you can go and subscribe to the show. Make your life a whole lot easier. Until next time, you can find me on Twitter at XHorseNX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. And you can find Chris at SkateXEdge. We will see you next week.
You are now leaving the world of Musings of a Geek Podcast Network. Stay geeky, my friends.